I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so I guess to recap you guys, we'll say it's a couple days later. The news has been out about you guys. It's been very exciting. Business has picked up a little bit. In fact, let me do... add $2,000 to how much you got. You guys have made you guys have made an extra $2,000 in like the past couple days because the phone's been ringing a lot. Some of it's been hoaxes. Some of it's been, you know.
We still get paid.
For you still get paid for inspections. Yeah. But at this point, Blake is not here, so we're gonna say that he is out on his date with Vicky. We're not gonna know how the date goes until the next time he plays.
Right.
So let's hope it goes well. But in the meantime, so he's out on a date. You guys are sitting around, and a call comes in. Nina answers, and she's like, okay, I'll let them know. She hangs up. She goes to you guys, and she explains, a representative from the phone company has called and said that two of their repairmen have gone missing. The reason why they're calling the Ghostbusters is because they've already called the police, and the police are on this missing persons report, and it's something very strange surrounding the disappearance, and they disappeared at this phone booth that's off of, like, a dirt road, sort of like north outside of Orlando, sort of like in a marshy, sort of swampish kind of area in the middle of the woods. So she gives you guys the directions on how to get there. I'm assuming you guys are going to want to go. You're going to...
All right, well, this has to come. Beach kit.
Goggles.
Two proton packs, two slime blowers.
I'm going to slime this time.
Just in
I'll
case.
I'll wear the third proton pack.
Okay, I'll take the slime blower. Because
we don't want one person with a slime blower getting possessed. From now on, we don't have just one slime blower.
Yeah.
So two proton packs, two walkie-talkies.
Two slime blowers, two ghost traps.
Two ghost traps, two protons, a PKE, ecto goggles.
Okay, well, let's say you're gonna head out then? You got everything you want?
Yep.
Before you turn on the sirens, Tobin gets excited, and he wants to jump in the car. You gonna let him in? Or you gonna leave him?
Let's take Tobin.
Yeah,
he's been locked in the firehouse the entire time.
He craves ghosts to eat. We'll feed him.
It was a taste for adventure.
It's a ghost dog.
Because I figure
samurai.
You're down one Ghostbuster. You might need a little, you know.
Oh, he is a ghost
extra.
Dog.
And he is a ghost dog.
Do we have like a little outfit for him? A little jumpsuit.
You have Nina picked out a very nice collar for him, okay. So it looks very cute.
Does it have the logo?
I want the logo.
Yeah, it's got a logo. It's like a bone shaped, but it's got the logo, the no ghost logo on it, and his name and the address.
I like it.
Excellent.
I like it.
Okay, so I guess you guys drive out. Like I said, it's like in a sort of like a marshy land. It's sort of like outside. It was a difficult sort of to find because it's not on like any main road. It is in fact on a dirt road. You guys pull up. There's like three or four cop cars. The area is, you know, sectioned off with, you know, yellow caution tape. You see a plainclothes officer wave you up, and he introduces himself as Detective Joseph Whitewood. He's basically in charge of this missing persons case, and he's gonna bring you up to speed. He says, he's like, all right, guys, I'm glad you can make it, because, I mean, we're stumped, and we didn't know what else to do, but it was the phone company's idea to call you guys. All we really know is that these two guys were asked to repair this phone booth. This phone booth has apparently been here for a long time, and it's gone unused. The phone company actually almost forgot it existed, even, until one day it started making random phone calls, and whenever people would pick up the phone, they wouldn't hear anything, so people started to complain, because it happened a lot. So they figured, oh, this phone booth is acting strangely, and no one's used it for, like, the past 20 years. Let's go decommission it. These guys drive out, and that's the last anybody saw of them.
Where are we right now?
You're like in the middle. It's like in a dirt road. You're not in any city.
Oh, so we're at the phone booth.
You're at the phone
okay.
booth, yeah. And you're inside the wire of the caution tape.
Wait, you said where? Northwest?
North, like sort of like you're sort of northwest of Orlando. You're
so
far enough out. Yeah, like
so we're in a pop.
In the middle of nowhere though. Like there's no town nearby.
There's really nothing out there anyway.
Yeah, the address is off of a dirt road in the middle of nowhere. Like there is no city that you're in.
Well, I'm gonna, I guess, put my goggles on and give the phone booth kind of a once-over.
Okay.
See what we can see. 20.
Yeah, you can tell the phone booth, because it's like one of those old style, it's like a Bill and Ted phone booth, like complete glass and everything, the sliding door. The phone is kind of glowing. It doesn't seem to be like really strong, but the phone itself is glowing, but the rest of the booth seems fairly normal.
What do you say?
Booth looks normal. It's just the phone that's got anything on it.
I asked the
detective
if they found the vehicles that these men went out with.
Yeah, and he points over, he waves over to like the truck that they pulled up in. He shows you like not only do they have the truck here and some of the gear has been pulled out, like they were working on it. They even have footprints leading up to the phone booth and like back and forth to the truck maybe. But they have footprints that lead up to the phone booth, but no footprints lead away from the area.
I'm gonna go pull the phone off the hook.
Okay.
And just drop it. Just tag it.
Just let it drop.
Yeah.
Nothing happens.
Okay.
Considering I like to do stupid things, I want to just listen.
You want to listen?
Yeah.
Do we have like rope?
You had climbing gear.
Well,
but you didn't bring that.
Okay.
That's what you're thinking.
Okay, but
I want to grab onto his belt.
Slime tether me.
It's like
slime tether. Oh, yeah. Slime tether me.
So, well, are you gonna tell them that you want to just listen to it, or are you just gonna walk?
No, slime tether me, and I'm gonna go in there and listen to it. So just like slime tether, my body.
All right, you don't even have to roll for that. If you're gonna slime tether, he's gonna be slime tethered. You guys don't have to.
I'll go ahead and
slime tether him to the ground.
Yeah, to the ground outside the.
Okay.
I'm sure the cops are like.
What? Yeah, like, some of them are just like, what the hell is this nonsense? Whereas Detective Whitewood is actually just sort of like observing, but he's not criticizing.
It's like, what is this snot stuff you guys throwing around on each other?
Some of them are a little grossed out, but Whitewood's like, all right, whatever you guys need, you know, he's here to help. So you get tethered by, like, I guess the belt or whatever, and you're on the ground, tethered to the ground.
I'm picturing, like, the Matrix. He presses it and just goes,
when you put the phone up to your head and you're listening, you hear two voices talking back and forth, and they seem very distant and echoey, and it's really hard to make out what they're saying.
Briggs, what are you hearing?
It's something. There's two people talking, but it's again very very faint and can't really make it.
Say hello.
Hello.
the conversation stops, and you hear a voice like call out like in confusion, like hello, like it's
oh hi.
And it's like, who's there? Like, it's very panicked. It's very scared.
Are you happy with your wireless service?
The Ghostbusters. Who's this?
The Ghostbusters? And they start talking amongst themselves. They're like, you have to get us out of here. We work for the phone company. We don't know what happened. We're working on the phone. And the next thing we know, there's this bright light. And we end up, we're in here. And we don't know where we are. But you have to get us out of here.
Oh. Okay, so there's no defining characteristics you can give me of where you may or may not be?
It's pitch dark in here, and we've been in here, I don't even know for how long, because I can't even check my watch. We need to get out of here. This is terrifying.
Okay, well, what are your names? So you guys are the missing two. I mean, what's their name?
Yeah, their names are Jonathan and Steven.
Okay, Jonathan, is this Jonathan I'm talking to?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, we're gonna do everything we can. Tell me this, how did you get there?
We approached the phone booth, we were supposed to just, like, take it out of commission. We started getting to work on it. My buddy Steve, he came up to the phone booth, he was doing something, and I saw a bright flash, he was gone, I ran in, and I heard his voice over the phone. And I started, I didn't know what to do. I tried messing with the phone. Next thing I know, there's another bright flash, and I get sucked into. We've been in here ever since, and it's felt like a very long time. You have to get us out of here.
Is Briggs relaying this?
I'd imagine.
I'm gonna go ahead and just second tether. So you guys are both there. You've been there for, it feels like, in a very long time. Like, wait, I'm gonna look at one of the sheriffs. How long have they been gone?
Detective says, they've been missing for, like, 12 hours.
Okay, and you guys think you've been gone longer than that? Like,
he says, I don't know, man. There's nothing in here. Like, it's just pitch black. I can't even see my own hand in front of my face, man. We don't know how long. It's been too long, and we gotta get out of here.
I'm gonna try to get the phone from Briggs.
Okay.
I'm just gonna say, hey, what exactly did you start doing?
Let me think. I remember we approached the phone booth. Steve messed with it first. There was a bright light, and I heard him screaming on the other end. I went into the phone booth. I remember trying to pull the phone, out of the booth. I remember my hands running over it. I must have done something because the next thing I knew, I triggered something and I got sucked in. It was a bright white light, and then there's nothing. But I was able to find Steve in here. I mean, I can, you know, I grabbed him, but I can't see anything. They can both hear you, by the way, Steven and
okay, so
camera.
So that's what I hear them say.
Yeah.
Okay, I relay that, and I go, okay, well, what does the actual phone unit look like?
It's your typical, it's not a rotary. It's like a digital pad. It's not digital. It's like, you know, with a pad.
The metal buttons.
With the metal buttons. It's circa 1982, you know. It's kind of dusty because it hasn't been used in a long time. But it is the metal buttons with the coin slot and the black receiver on the thing.
I'm going to play with the change hole.
The change hole? Yeah, you mess with the change hole, nothing really happens. But you feel it feels like wind coming out of the change slot.
So they're obviously in a physical place because, I mean, we're talking to them, not unless they were transported to some weird extra dimension.
I'm going to go ahead and not phase that out as an option.
Is it? I'm going to try to hold open the change hole, and I'm going to shout in it, and I'm going to have Briggs the phone and say, ask them if they can hear me.
Okay. He's going to yell, and tell me if you hear him, and I cup the receiver.
Okay.
So they...
They're like, okay!
And then I just yell, hey!
And they're like, yeah, I hear someone yelling, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to fire the slime tether up this thing? See if we can at least nab them to reality?
There you go. 9?
No, I'm sorry, 11.
11? Okay, you fired a slime tether in there, and it just sort of disappears in there, and you got it, like, string, you know, coming out or whatever.
Hey, do you see, or...
We don't see anything!
Do you guys not have, like, a lighter or anything on you?
The guys inside they're like, no, I mean, none of our equipment came with us. It's just us, just sort of sitting here.
All right, well, did you hear, like, a noise or something?
No.
That just...
No.
Like you know, a poop hitting the water?
Were they carrying any of their equipment
when
they were pulled
out? Hold on, can I take my flashlight off my strap and shine it into the hole?
If you want, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and do that. Briggs, did I say anything?
We're flashing light into a supposed hole where you probably are.
Alright, they're like, hold on! And they're gonna be looking around, you're assuming. And if you're flashing, like, a flashlight in there, they go, I see something! It's like, I see a light, kind of, yeah. It's very far away.
Okay, this time head to the light.
It's above us.
Oh boy,
Okay.
All were right, they carrying any of their equipment when they started working on the phone?
No. He says, no. My buddy Steve, this is Steve. When Steve was working on it, he was just looking at the phone, trying to get it off of its, you know, frame. And once he disappeared, I just started messing with the phone because I heard his voice inside, and we weren't carrying anything with us.
The light was above them. Can you tether me?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, I'm going to tether him, too. Just... to be sure.
Just both of you be ready. Alright, and can I borrow the ecto goggles?
Absolutely, good sir.
Okay. Alright, so I'm gonna put on the ecto goggles so that I can see in the dark if necessary.
Adam, get out of the phone booth.
I'm out of the phone booth.
Breaks.
So, and I'm going to start messing with it, see if there's anything I can mess with.
Okay.
Like anything to start repairing.
Okay, well, before you do that, let's warn them real quick that, hey, you might have somebody joining you.
One of you guys, one of the Ghostbusters?
This may go horribly wrong.
Okay.
So I'm gonna grab the box, like the phone box by the whole unit, and then just start like twisting it and turning it, seeing if it can come loose anywhere. Wall, you wanna grab me some tools?
I'll go over to the truck and see if I can grab like a screwdriver or something.
Okay, yeah. I mean, a screwdriver would be the most basic.
I mean, I just mallet.
Toss it to the forge.
Yep. Real quick, can I go get Tobin out of the car?
Yeah, he's with the window down, sticking his head out.
Alright, I'm gonna go ahead and just have Tobin come hang out here with us. I'm just gonna slime tether.
A leash.
To
him
and
see if
he's
kinda
hanging out, yeah.
So you're gonna have Tobin just like, where you wanna bring him up to the
booth? Yeah, just over to where I am.
Alright, if you bring him up to the booth, he like senses something and he just like starts running up, but I guess you're on a slime tethered leash. He's just like, he's tugging at you. Do you wanna like sort of see what he does?
Yeah, I guess you want to see if he leads us into something in particular?
Sure, I mean, I'll back out.
So Tobin goes up, and he sort of gets up on his, like, you know, hind legs, and he puts his front paws in there.
Adorable.
And he starts, like, sniffing across, you know, like over the phone, and he starts sniffing at the coin slot, and he starts pawing like this, and when he's hitting it with his paw, he hits the coin release, and there's a bright light, and he vanishes.
Oh, no. We lost our dog!
Did the tether do anything at all? Huh? Did the tether do anything?
The tether's been severed.
Oh,
jeez.
Okay, guys.
Guys, it's all or nothing on this.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
let's go!
Tobin.
Well, actually, like, at least one should stay outside, because we have a walkie-talkie.
I'll go first.
Alright.
Okay. I'm just gonna hit it.
You hit it and there's a bright flashlight and you're gone. You sort of feel yourself, you fall down like a couple feet and you land.
Oh, I was hoping it was gonna be a line of fall and I like fall on my face.
You land on some kind of ground, but it is totally pitch black.
I'll go next.
And you hear Tobin barking, like echo in distance.
God, that poor dog is freaking out.
Do you want to say anything, or do you want to hop in?
So,
you want to go?
Where?
Turn your light on.
Click light.
Black, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Do I see?
Can you see himself? Like is
you can see yourself. If you have a light, you can see you can see yourself standing.
Okay, so I'm going to just pan around looking for
black, everywhere.
Hey, are you guys here?
Yeah, you hear them yell like hey, and they're like, is that you with the light on? Is that you? Is that the Ghostbusters?
Yeah, that's me.
You hear them running.
Yeah.
And Tobin. So Tobin and these two guys, they run up to you and they're like, oh, okay, how do we get out of here?
Good question. Working on it.
Okay. At least you have a light. It's like
don't worry, we're experts.
Okay.
So you can't see the floor.
The floor is black. It's like it's as if you're standing on glass. It's just straight, the light doesn't even end at the floor. Like you are literally floating. Apparently floating in blackness, but you are feeling
a solid ground.
Yeah.
Solid
okay, so ground. We can hear him. I haven't hit the change release yet.
No, you haven't.
I'm gonna pick up the phone and I'm gonna yell. Okay. I'm gonna ask if they can hear me.
Okay. Yeah, they can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna say, hey guys, I'm gonna start dialing numbers. Let me know what happens on your end.
Oh well, remember? Let's call the number in London. Their new 911.
0118999881
91197
Oh wait, that's not it. 3 Alright. So I guess I'll call I'll turn to the
call
police officers and I'll be like, where's the nearest police station?
Nearest police station?
Where's the phone company?
The phone company? You wanna just call the phone company?
I'll call the phone company.
Okay, yeah, they just...
Although, like, 611 or whatever.
If you want, they got the number for the phone company, because they're the ones who hired
okay.
to call the cops, so they give you the number.
Okay, so I just started saying, do they hear anything?
Okay, with each button you push, they hear, like, Inception-style... like, it's very, very loud.
I can't wait for him to make...
After you dial, they hear, like, the dial tone of... But once the phone company picks up, they're still stuck.
Okay, I'm like, hey, so they can hear, but can I still hear them?
Yes.
So the phone company does pick up. I'm talking to the phone company, but
yeah.
I can still hear them.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So hey, just testing my phone. Thanks, bye. And I hang up and then pick it back up.
Don't do that again.
It like the sounds of the button pushing ripples through your body. It's like it's like a serious loud.
I think you ruptured my spleen.
It's like the wall of from Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wall speakers. Yeah. I'm gonna make a brains roll to do with the occult to see if there's any history of communication devices transporting people to some sort of related plane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're aware that sometimes certain objects or different things that have the negatively charged things attached to it, like the psychokinetic energy that would normally like create a ghost, like if someone died in a bad way or something mm-hmm. like that. If that can happen to an inanimate object, sometimes it can be a way for a ghost to come back through the object. But in certain cases, when there were no humans involved or animals involved, no real life involved, it's just concentrated psychokinetic energy, it can lead to other sort of dimensions or the space between spaces, as it were. So it's definitely from your knowledge, you're quick to believe that they are not inside the phone.
But they're in a related space that was created by this object.
Yeah, they're in a space that's not on your space.
Okay.
They're like, okay,
I'm going to dial zero.
Dial zero.
To try to get an operator.
Really loud, and you get an operator, but they're just.
Still, I get a normal operator.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Okay.
Well, I have ideas.
Through the
sorry, Briggs. It was nice knowing
the
you.
The actual list of phone calls made was there was no pattern.
It was completely random. There was no pattern.
I say we slime the phone.
Well, I want to slime. I want to slime in this dimension.
You want to just shoot out slime in this
dimension? Yeah, just shoot it in like just one direction. See if that does anything at all.
Okay. I mean, that's not going to require a roll, but it's
okay,
like...
Okay, I just... Yeah.
You just fire slime, and it just goes out. You don't hear it hit anything. It's like... It doesn't even hit a ground. It's just like... It's just... And there's just... There's no real reaction.
That's... Guys?
Fool?
Am I in a black hole? I feel like I'm in a black hole.
All right, guys.
Black hole. Slime.
You got slime the phone booth?
Unload all over the phone.
Okay, I'm going to back out of the phone booth.
Yeah, you better back out.
Before pool, it's the size of Lisa's slime.
Okay, when you slime the phone booth, it does react. It does start shaking a little bit, like it's kind of ghostly energy, and sparks and stuff like that. And it's
switch on my proton pack.
Yeah, it's very it becomes very unstable, but nothing comes out or whatever, but it definitely is reacting. Like it's having almost like an allergic reaction to the slime. So it is.
Are we feeling? Is anything happening inside?
Yeah,
and so inside you, I guess you could best describe it as you can hear the shaking of the phone, but it sounds more like an avalanche. But you don't, and wind kind of picks up, but there's no.
Is there like a source for where the wind's coming from, or is it just all around us?
It's just sort of spinning like around you.
It doesn't like the slime. It won't like.
As the slime drips down, it sort of stops shaking and sort of starts to go back to normal as it
Because it don't want to screw up the only exit.
Yeah.
If this is the only exit.
I have a PKE here. I'm gonna do a PKE scan.
Okay.
Because why not? I might get a different reading in here.
Okay. You do pick up. You don't even have to give me a brain roll for this because it's obvious. So it's you do pick up a steady reading. Like all around you, you're picking up levels that lead you to believe that this environment that you're in is a class 6. So this is pretty high up there, but there is no spike, there is no single focus point. It's just literally in every direction. And I would say if you aim up to like where the light was coming in, right on that spot, it's weaker, but it just, everything else is constant.
Okay, and Tobin's okay?
Tobin's okay, but he's definitely like alert.
I tell everybody to stand back if they can.
Can I shout one real quick thing through this?
I'm still there with the phone.
I'm
just gonna, because I forgot to mention. Oh, by the way, I'm getting class 6 readings, so.
At this point, I would imagine the slime is basically all falling down, like, and the phone has stopped shaking.
Yeah. So, yeah, so this may be bad. This may get worse.
Briggs is picking up class 6 readings. This is serious.
Well, unless anybody's got any other ideas.
Mm. I'm just saying, if it's
don't...
a.
I'm
I'm with blasting it.
I'm gonna let them out. Oh, guys,
I go ahead and kind of motion the detective and.
Yeah, it's like, you guys want to stand back. And he's like, and he tells me, alright, guys, we're about to see something crazy, I think, here. Let's step back.
Did I hear you're gonna blast us? You're gonna blast
us? No, you're fine. Just, we're running away. Better at this than Briggs.
If I'm all charged up,
mm-hmm.
Pulls out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tag him.
Give me moves.
I'm gonna tag the phone.
You hit the phone and you just kind of just like take the corner off of like the top of the phone. Then come, you take the top of the booth. It goes through the booth and it clips the phone itself. And the wind picks up and it starts getting crazy about the wind being sucked into this phone.
Yeah.
So it's like the cops are like holding on to their hats and like dirt dust cloud starts coming up and everything. But it is like. It's like you'd imagine opening up a black
zero.
Hole. Yeah, you basically divided by zero, and the hole you made in the phone, the corner of the phone, like the phone square.
Good job, Josh. You just destroyed the universe.
PKE.
Doing it again.
PKE.
Yeah, you can sense the phone. It's still it's registering the class 6 that he was talking about.
Okay.
Do it again.
You gonna hit it again?
Yep. 6.
You hit it. It just in half. Like straight through this thing. And now, so it's like, and I'd say it's like,
looks like
this height.
It's like a square jar.
Yeah, it's like a square jar now, and the wind is just, it's sucking it in like crazy now.
I'm gonna go
now, and now inside, you guys do see a light. It's not like the star like before. You guys are seeing like it's a square shaped light that is it's still very high above you, but it's bright and it's far up. But you're seeing this hole getting bigger.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead real quick and just start spraying slime.
Okay. So what's left of the phone, it's definitely shaking.
Is any of the slime being like sucked in or anything?
And the slime, yeah, the slime is, it will go down into the phone, and you, if you're looking up, you will see,
it's raining slime.
It's kind of raining slime, but by the time it gets close to you guys, it's almost like mist. I will say that there is enough light coming in now that you can start to see the other guys without the flashlight.
Hi, guys.
It's not like daylight, but you are seeing, there's just enough light coming in where you can kind of make out where they are.
Early dusk.
Okay. I yell over the torrent and tell everybody to get by the cars, because I'm going to walk around to the other side of the booth, mm-hmm. and I'm going to try to give it one up the middle so that it cuts power to it and then takes the phone.
So you tell all the police officers to get back, mm-hmm. And they run, and so what do you want?
I want to get behind the phone booth.
Behind the phone booth. Okay. Right.
And I want to unzip it from the middle.
Unzip it from behind.
I'm gonna real quick just tether the three of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. If you unzip this thing from the back, it's like you split it like this, and like the cables that's still going through are still there. The wind gets even crazier, and you guys are starting to feel inside the booth, but inside this plane of existence. Everything is kind of shaking and it's getting like unstable. And the wind has definitely picked up even more. So this is getting crazy. And it's trying to pull things in, almost like a tornado.
Right, so we're tethered.
You're tethered. Even if you weren't tethered, you don't feel like you're being picked off your feet, but you're getting hurricane force winds spiraling around you guys and trying to suck into this thing.
Awesome.
I'm going to give it a concentrated shot at what's left.
I want to go get my first kid out of it.
Six.
He hits Toby.
Six. You hit what's left of it and kind of breaks down, so like basically what you have left is what you'd imagine would be the bottom of the phone, you know, because the phone itself is sitting inside.
Yeah.
What would be the bottom of the phone, and the rest of this is just burnt and charred and gone. The rest of the phone is basically gone, but with this thing here, the booth is all cracked, you know, like all around. It just looks like black, empty space, but it's just sort of sitting there like this sized over there.
So looking into the phone is basically looking into
that dimension.
Okay, yeah. All right.
So if I walk up, fire a tether in.
You better tether yourself down first. But yeah, you can. You are tethered. You are tethered down. So if you want to go, you want to fire a tether down into it. Okay, yeah, you can actually, because you can see it. It's like yay big. You can walk up, fire a tether down, and when you walk up, they can see like way up where this square is, the shadow. Standing over it and shooting a tether down. And I will say, a tether does, you shoot a tether and it's just gonna fall, it goes straight down and it's like within touching distance for them.
I'm gonna
try and touch it. Get the other guys up first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, can I? Okay, fine. I'll get them to help me to grab this tether.
Dude, your tether.
Have a slime tether on you? You have a slime on
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do have a slime on.
Okay, so.
So yeah, I'll tether his tether.
You want to tether? Okay, and you want to tether them?
Yeah, I want to get them out, and then I hand Tobin 20.
So so let's just say that you can tether one guy, and it'll stick to him, like he'll wrap it around him, like it'll stick if you want to wrap it around you, whatever. So one guy will wrap it around him, he'll grab the other guy grabs the dog, and you start to wait, and sure enough, the slime tether starts to pull him up, because it shrinks the space between. It starts doing that, and as it's getting closer and closer, you start to see from the light of daylight coming in, because it's still noisy as hell I'm out here. You start to see them coming up. They're still a ways down, but you're like, the hole's this big still. The phone is sort of like cut off to here. There is still phone there, but it's just the bottom that sort of holds this thing.
Okay, I motion for him to like pull back with the slime tag.
Wait,
should
I let them down first?
Can you?
I don't know.
I don't know how you can let them down. It's like, but.
Alright, yeah.
Business
again.
So
if
he backs up, I give it a zap.
Okay, yeah. The final part of the phone is gone, and now in it is in its place is sort of a sphere of black emptiness, and it's like pulsing and kind of growing like this. And it's the wind is completely ridiculous now. This is
it's getting bigger and bigger.
It's pulsing, but it's slowly getting bigger to like I would say roughly. It's like this tall off the ground, like this size.
Ball.
Yeah, like a really big yoga ball.
Hurry up!
Alright, the slime, I mean, because when you slimed down, you have yet to put the slime tether somewhere else, so it's gonna come up to your slime.
Alright, I'm gonna go ahead and climb
like
some
ground or whatever. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you can do that, and it'll be like this ball, sort of this sphere is floating here, and it's tethered to the ground. So they're gonna come up, and sure enough, as it pulls them up, they come spilling out of this thing. So
when Jorge is
it's like it's very bright. It's very bright and it's very windy. They're just like, and like they sort of stumble away.
It breaks out first because the next part's not gonna be pretty.
All right. I'm gonna go ahead. Briggs, fire down.
Fire
right down. I fire another tether and
comes right down for
him. I'll like tether myself and then attach and then tether that.
Oh yeah, just to be safe.
Yeah,
it pulls you up, and you spill out.
I pull fire into the black hole. Keep a steady stream going.
Okay,
and then I back away from somebody else who has a proton pack.
Okay.
I fire another shot into the black hole.
All right, give me a move.
Hope you got clear.
Ooh, that was a close one. So what's that for each of you? That's 14. 14 and 4?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm trying to cross the streams inside the hole.
Well, because you rolled a ghost, we'll say that yours does hit.
Outside?
not outside. They are kind of hitting, like, not as bad as they're on Pirates of the Caribbean, but it was, it's hitting. It's hitting up, and you see, with both streams going into this thing, it rapidly starts shrinking, like really quickly. And eventually it just, around the proton beams, it's sort of just holding the proton beams and you guys are still firing, which is apparently going into nothing, but it's just sort of holding.
I stop firing.
Okay.
Focuses
on lights.
Alright, real quick, I'm just gonna...
It's a very strange event because it literally looks like your proton is just ending.
Yeah. Alright, real quick, I'm just gonna toss my ghost trap under it, just to have it, and I'll also tether that to the ground at the bottom of the phone booth.
Alright. On it. Okay, you open it. Apparently, it's gone because Mike's beam just goes straight past, kind of back out, and just starts going into the marsh area. That's it. And I would imagine you would stop. Yeah.
Like,
and as far as you can see, there's nothing there now. Okay, you close. Yeah, you close it. And
I looked into the trap, right?
Things get quiet.
The forge.
The trap beeps, and there appears to be nothing there except just what used to be a phone booth. And just charred remains there.
I didn't want to dismantle it anyway.
Does the trap say that it has anything in it?
Trap says it has something in it.
Alright, I want to go ahead and do a PKE on the trap.
Okay. Now, another thing that I've been kind of thinking about since in between games, how a PKE exactly gives you the information. How it gives you the information. I would imagine a PKE that you guys are using, while it still looks very similar, works more akin to like a smartphone in the sense of like it can display complicated data.
Right.
So I'll say the PKE tells you based on the little SD card that's inside and the different types of classes that it's able to determine. It tells you that what's inside this trap is a class 6 anchored transdimensional conduit. So this was an odd one to say the least.
Yeah.
But you do have.
So guys, as we cut a hole.
Yeah, basically.
Other dimensions suck.
Yeah, that's all it did actually.
Yeah.
Well, two repairmen, Jonathan and Steve, they're just like, water. the cops are taking care of them. They're getting statements and everything else.
I'm gonna see if we have any rolls of toilet paper in the.
In the end to one. We'll say you have one inside the beach kit, just for safety.
Okay, yeah, so awesome. I hand it to him, I go, use wisely.
Yes, Steve is just like, later, and he walks into the forest. he just gives you a nod, he's like, yes, thank you. Detective Whitewood, except and he's just like, that was something else. Thanks a bunch, you guys, you kind of solved this case. This was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Phone company did give me the information to give to you guys for when you're ready to bill them. So he writes down on like a statement from like official police statement what happened, gets you guys to sign it, make sure everything's okay. He also gives you another piece of paper with the information of who to contact with the phone company and says, yeah, if you ever need anything, I'll vouch for you guys. Like this was, thanks for getting this done because this was a strange one.
All right, what's his name again?
Detective Joseph Whitewood.
Can I get a card from him?
Yeah, of course. Now, during all this, you know, things are sort of settling down. You hear Nina on the radio in the Ecto-1 asking if you guys are there.
All right.
I pick up.
Okay.
Yeah, job done. What's up?
Tobin wants to say hi to you. say hi, Tobin.
She says, we had an emergency call come in, actually. This one is in downtown Orlando. Do you guys think you can get there pretty quick?
God, I hope it's the mayor.
There you go.
Close enough. This is, she tells you that this is at the Orlando Citrus Club, which is on the 18th floor of the BB&T building in downtown Orlando. I don't know if you guys are familiar. This is like the big one. The Citrus Club is basically the 1%. You turn on the siren, I'm guessing. You guys are going to book it there.
Yeah.
You guys pull up, park in the building's parking center. You guys have Tobin in the car with you. It's up to you if you
want
to bring him in.
Oh, I totally want to bring him in with the 1%ers.
Police hear a drug call. They're like, oh, we're not bringing the drug dog. Like, it's not.
I'll go ahead and fashion another tether leash for Tobin.
Okay, yeah, you don't, I mean, he's...
I know he's really well-behaved, but just because I'm sure they would...
So, okay, so you guys get into the parking structure, you get out, you know, you guys get in the elevator, go up, and you, you know, it's like a minute or so, you get out, and Major D comes over to you guys, and he's just like, okay, thanks for showing up as quick as you can. Basically, what's been happening is me and the waitstaff, we're trying to get ready. The mayor is having a big dinner tonight. He's hosting a party for the governor. And this ghost has shown up, and it's been attacking some of the waitstaff and everything. Thankfully, there are no guests here right now, so it's just us. But we're supposed to have everything ready in about an hour. That's when the dinner's supposed to start.
First of all, I pull out the waiver, and I say, "Who do I need to? Who has the authority to sign this?"
I have the authority to sign it. So
you need to sign it.
He signs it. I have yet to see it for myself, but the waitstaff has been telling me that this is a ghost, sort of a torso and up of a gentleman floating around.
It's a full torso, free roaming vapor, sounds like.
That's what that sounds like to you. He has apparently been physically beating some of our wait staff, and he's been seeming very angry and shouting, whatever you guys need to do.
Can I reach down and let Tobin off the leash?
Yeah. He's not going to mind. He's assuming this is, he's with you. So
I do that. I'll let Tobin
go stop. Off the leash. Go stop. Ghost
dog. Okay. He's like, all right, we're going to be waiting over here by the elevators. You gentlemen, you have free reign, so...
What's Tobin do?
Tobin, he starts sniffing the air, and he starts, like, looking around, so he's going to sort of... He's not taking off, like, running, but he's definitely walking, exploring, sort of seeing
I've got my
space.
PKE out, and I'm just...
Warm up the proton pack.
Okay. I guess I'm just going to do a general sweep of the PKE to find the best direction to head.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, you have a decent sense. I'll explain, like, there's like a fancy sort of foyer, if you will, like a nice marble floors and everything, and plants and everything that lead you deeper into this club, if you will. And you go in, there's fancy carpets, fancy lights, there's sort of like a little, you know, lounge area with TVs and flowers everywhere. It's very, very upper crust. As you're going through, Tobin's kind of leading the way. He's sort of on par with where you are as far as being able to tell where things are. Mm. He leads off to sort of like a side lounge. It's kind of like a separate room tucked away, and the door's closed, and he's kind of scratching at the door. But from your PKE reading, you can see that there is something in there, like there's something on the other side of the door.
I put on the goggles.
You hear music playing on what sounds like a record player.
Okay, I'm gonna get on, is it a double door or is it a single door?
It's a double door.
Okay, I'm gonna get on the right side.
Okay.
I'll take left.
If Briggs and Waller are watching the door with their weapons, I'm just gonna fling the doors open.
Okay. While they're on it. You open the door and you see this ghost sitting in, like, you know, leather armchair, like with, you know, the wings on it, and he's sitting there and he's smoking a big cigar doesn't have any legs, so he's kind of got like the Aladdin genie squiggly going on. But from like the waist up, he's wearing like a vest, old timey sort of like pocket watch, and has a coat on top of that, and like a old fashioned bow tie. Very thick white mustache, sort of like handlebars type of mustache, with like the goatee going on. And he's smoking, and he looks up and he sees you guys. He's like, "Ah, gentlemen, come in, sit down."
That's like, yeah, sure. What's up?
I sit down.
He's like, "I'm just enjoying a smoke."
Oh.
Is there a bar in this room?
Yeah, like you can say there's a little bar, like a little cocktail bar, like over in the corner.
All right, I walk over, start making a gin and tonic, and ask him if he wants a drink while I'm over there.
He's just like, "I'm a Scotchman myself."
Okay.
Like, he's like, "How long have you been members of the club?"
Today.
Really? Congratulations!
We're new blood.
Yeah.
What is your profession? You all dress very strangely, I must
say. We're Ghostbusters.
We're exterminators.
We're exterminators.
I don't know if that means anything.
Do you work for the army?
I hand him the scotch.
He takes it.
Is he able to take it?
He's able to take
okay,
it.
Okay.
But when he drinks it, just kind of spills on the smoke. As much as when he breathes in the smoke, it just goes through his head. But he doesn't seem to notice.
We work for a private organization.
Private organ. Oh, okay. Very good.
But I don't believe we've been properly introduced. I'm Wall. Nice to meet you.
His ghostly hand. And he tries to shake it, but he can't. He doesn't really seem to notice that he can't quite shake your hand. But he's just like, Colonel Parkins. Nice to meet you.
Colonel Parkins.
Anybody? Wipe. I'm just gonna make a brains. See if I recognize the name.
I'm gonna wipe the slime off on my
six. Colonel Parkins, you. You don't seem to remember being like anything particularly famous, but the name does ring a bell, something with the area.
So, what do you do, Mr. Parkins?
I'm retired from the army.
Oh, okay. Well, what did you do in the army?
I was in the war, I assume.
He's a colonel.
Well, I mean, which war did you fight in? Like, World War I?
What's World War I?
The Great War.
The Great World.
The War. Great.
Civil War?
No, not the Civil War. No. The Spanish-American
War. Ah, yeah. Okay.
I assume you gentlemen knew something of that.
Yeah.
We've heard the name.
Okay.
So what brings you to this area of town?
Oh, I'm a member of a club. I just enjoy spending my nights here.
Interesting.
Way to get away from the wife.
How's the food?
I haven't had any tonight, but it's usually very good. I recommend the steak. It's very good.
No troubles with the waiting staff?
Oh, I don't know what this world's coming to. He says, I come in here, I sit down, I want to have a drink and a smoke, and believe it or not, but I hear a voice asking what I'd like to order. I turn, and it's a Negro. And if there's one thing I can't tolerate, it's an institution as good as this lowering itself to these kinds of standards. I just thought to myself, this can't be. He finally noticed me and he ran off. So I waited, and then, believe it or not, a woman shows up in the club and just turns and screams and runs away.
Oh my.
So I'm beyond livid. The rules specifically state no people of color and no women allowed, but yet they apparently have free reign now.
She may have just wandered into the wrong room. You never know.
The wrong room. This. How did they make it past the front door? Is what I want to know.
How long? I asked him how long he was in the army.
I was in the army for most of my life since I was a young boy. I must have joined up when I was about 15.
When did you? When did you finally retire?
Once the war was over, there wasn't much else to do, so I, you know, moved here, tried to just live my life like normal.
He looks older. Let's see. He doesn't like the wait staff. Like, well, how long have you been a member of this club?
Oh, going on at least 10 years now. I was invited. So
who invited you?
It was a friend of mine from the war.
Have you seen any other members besides us this evening?
No, it's been empty. It's been kind of dead, I'm afraid.
Tell us about it. I thought John was actually going to hit Doug for a moment.
That pun hurt.
You asked how it was going. What's he going to say?
You've been sitting on that.
No, I haven't. It wasn't until you said it. I didn't even think of it until you had asked.
I don't know. It came out like that was being cooked for a while.
No, I promise you it was not. A joke that bad has to come without thinking.
Can I grab a cigar? Is there like a cigar I could grab? Like in here?
Yeah, it's like a wooden box.
And I see Briggs and I get inspiration. I say, you're a cigar man, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We brought some cigars. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you'd like to try them. We're from all over, but we found some interesting things in our time.
Yes. Oh, very well. Yeah, of course. I'll try one.
So I pull the ghost trap off a pool, mm-hmm. and I slide it across the table, and I put my foot near the thing. I'm like, there you go. It's a very interesting box.
Oh, you're getting, like, the cigars are inside this box?
Yes. Yeah.
He's like, how...
Well, you just if you lean over it, you can pull it open from the center. Because it's very interesting. They need to be sealed. They need to be sealed a special way because of their, for freshness.
It's Chinese. It's Chinese.
Chinese.
I'm going to bluff.
I think
okay, go ahead. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to bluff, and I'm going to spend 4 brownie points.
Okay.
Three by 10.
Yeah. He believes it. He's like, it's very strange. So he sort of looks over and he's trying to put his hands on. Of course, his hands.
Is he pretty close? Pretty close to
he's
it.
He's like over it, trying to open it. Like,
I step
like
on the thing.
All right, you step on it, and the trap opens, and you know. Light comes out, the wind comes gusting out, and he's just, he's like, he screams, and he ends up instinctively, I'd imagine, floating away from it, and is completely just freaked out, and now he's looking at you.
I just start laughing, I go, that's a trick we pull on all the new guys.
You're gonna have to bluff.
I'm gonna use my regular bluff, but since I've already warmed up my proton pack.
Okay. Do you close the trap or is it still open?
I close the trap.
Okay.
And I just do that, but regardless of his answer, I'm going to try to roast him.
He's not like right back at ease, but he's definitely, this is off guard. He was just like trying to process what you're saying, like a trick and like on new people, but you're new here. And
yeah.
Just, okay, so you want to give me a moves roll to try and hit him.
Yeah. There it goes.
Three.
Shoot yourself in the foot.
You fire, but yeah, you miss. You miss. If we're starting combat, everybody needs to give me a booze roll. 17 and 2.
And a ghost.
Alright, so Mike goes first.
Alright, yeah. I take a pot shot at him.
Okay. Let me roll. You nick him. And he ends up like... So the first shot from Josh missed him completely, and it like hit the wall, and like a thing of flowers exploded. And Mike goes to hit him, and you just sort of nick and sort of hits him, and it sort of bumps him.
I'm just gonna grab my slime blower, and I want to tether him to the floor.
Okay, just on the carpet floor?
Yeah.
Yeah, you hit him.
Okay, cool.
Tobin's just kind of in the corner, like, watching everything happen, like, a little nervous. he trusts you guys that you're not gonna hit him, so he's just sort of there.
Alright.
Yeah, next is
I'll go ahead and also shoot another tether to the same place, just to...
Okay, yeah, you
want to keep him from leaving the room because I'm trying to do as little damage as possible.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, he's. So your tether. You tethered him, right?
Yes.
Your tether holds him on the ground, but. You're going to tether him as well?
Yeah, just because.
Okay, no. Yeah, you hit him. You can hit him, and then you're going to attach it to the ground as well, like close to where Adam did it.
Okay.
He snaps yours. Right. Yeah, yours is snapped, but Adam's has still got his. And before Josh goes now, he gets to go. He has with him. Unnoticed until now, a riding crop with him, tucked under one arm. He's gonna take a swing at Josh with that. Because,
For that trick.
That horrible. Not even. Well, it clearly wasn't a trick now. They're trying to. Fighting for his life as far as he's concerned. I'm willing to bet he hits you. But you can roll a dodge.
Rather than dodge.
You mm-hmm. just take it?
Because what's a riding crop? It's not a sword.
Uh huh.
It'll sting, but I'm gonna try to take the hit. Just so I can get the riding crop from him.
Okay, so he'll hit you. He hits you pretty hard. Like, right in the face. Like, with the... Whether it's... Boom! So, like, it leaves a red mark on your face.
This infuriates me.
You're gonna have to give me either...
Spiral power. The forge is about to activate.
You're gonna have to give me one trait point or 2 brownie points.
I'm going to take the trait point hit, because I imagine that having a red riding crop mark on my face makes me look less cool.
Okay.
And
all right, now you want to whatever you want to try and do.
I'm going to. Can I use is would this count as brawl?
If I want to. If you want to grapple the.
I want to wrestle it from his grip.
Okay. Yeah. I'll count that as brawl.
Okay. So I'm going to brawl. To do that, I'm going to spend 5 brownie points.
Okay.
Because I am very angry.
Uh-huh. God, we need
actually,
to get...
let's make it 7.
7 brownie points?
7 brownie points.
Holy moly.
I am very angry. He didn't fall for my cigar trick.
And he's a racist.
He's a racist, and now he's hit me in the face with a riding crop. As I do this, I yell, "I'm not a horse." Okay, so I've got...
count that up.
12, 28...
Oh, Fulge is a horse.
Fifty-nine.
Okay, do you remember in the beginning of Terminator 2 when Arnold tries to get on the bike and he pulls out the shotgun and then Arnold walks up stone cold and just rips the shotgun out into his hand? It's even cooler than that. When you pull that thing out. So just, and he's just like... He's insulted, but he's just like, doesn't know how you did
not
he's
as
like,
insulted as I am.
He's not as insulted as you are, but he is insulted, but also surprised. Just like, what? And Now, I'm good. We'll go. This is Mike's turn now, so.
Yeah, I'm gonna take another pot shot at him.
Okay.
19.
Yeah, you get him.
Awesome.
And he just takes the hit. He's just like, argh! Like, he's very confused, but very angry. He's getting very, very angry. Before Adam does his thing, I need to roll for the slime. Alright. The slime tether. This is just, we'll just do it. No, he snaps. He snaps out. So he's out, but he's not going anywhere yet, so you can. This is your chance to hit him.
Okay, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to go for it again. I'm going to aim for his face in particular, because I want to just, you know, slime tether's face straight to the ground.
Okay. I mean, if you want to get that specific, it gets a little bit, just a little bit more difficult.
Okay, that's fine. And I'm going to use 10.
10 brownie points?
Are you serious?
Wow. I'm telling you right now, you don't need to spend that much
brownie points. Does slime tether a man's face to the ground?
He's not across the citrus bowl. He's across the room of the citrus club.
Seven.
All right. I ain't going to stop you. I'm just saying.
I want to make it count.
You hit it. All right. You hit it.
But I don't know. I wanted to get his face to his face.
It snaps. It doesn't hold him down.
Damn.
You did tether him in the face, and it did land on the ground, but he's just like, and he grabs it, and it just snaps. So it snaps. So he's free.
Maybe we should combine our tethers.
So you're going to tether him, I'm guessing?
Also.
You're going to try and tether him?
This man
right, 21.
Has a black
Yeah, you definitely hit him. You hit him.
Okay, no. Same towards the trap, which I guess is still like one on the table, but you like, say, towards the floor.
Okay, just right. The floor. The
keeping
floor
him the in the same area.
Okay.
17.
So,
no. Yeah, he snaps. He snaps out of it. So he's free. He is going to disappear. He like vanishes for a second. Adam's slime blower, it sparks. And it makes a strange sound, and it just seems to sort of shut down on its own.
I whip my head forward to see through the goggles.
Okay.
Do I see him?
You do see him, and he's floating. He's like, he's not touching Adam, but he is like over Adam.
I'm gonna spend 4 brownie points.
Okay.
And I'm gonna zap him.
All right, go for it.
I say, hit the deck.
Yeah.
And I dive.
Diving will help you, I will say that.
I'm diving.
10, 15.
You got him. Okay. Yeah, you hit him. Pencil. He goes through the wall. And he's into, like, the kitchen area.
Ah! Did he leave slime on the wall?
Yes.
God damn it.
There's already a couple scorch
but
marks.
But as he's leaving...
They signed the fucking release.
As he leaves, you hear him yelling, like, oh, never my time again! He gets very ornery. He gets... He's like Jode Kressbeckler's older brother, who's even angrier than he is.
So I guess we storm out of the room.
You should fix your blower.
Totally, of course. I'm gonna
like
work
bolt out the door.
If you guys start to leave, he'll follow. He goes with you.
Watch me, like
you guys go. Tobin's there with you. He's with whoever's in the lead. He's just sort of like alongside. I guess okay. If you get into the kitchen, you can tell he's been here. It's like slime is hit like the hanging pots and pans or whatever. And you hear some of the waitstaff screaming. They come running out, it's like, and they just sort of run back to the elevator, and they're like, he's in there, and like they leave. So they're pointing deeper into the kitchen. Like,
oh, Briggs is his blower's broken.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I mean,
if you want to try, you it made a weird sound like it was shut down. And it kind of sparked
in the
back or whatever.
I'm gonna tinker with it and get the thing.
You guys at least take a look at it or whatever.
Yeah,
I go, if that doesn't work, I hand him the writing crop. I said, when the time comes, you'll know what to do.
And I look up, I go.
There's no way you can fix this thing while you're up here. So you guys are in the kitchen. I'll say you notice some of the ovens, the knobs, start turning on their own, like on one wall of the kitchen.
I've still got my goggles on. Do I
it's
see?
Good. You just see energy kind of floating around with the knobs. Like you don't see like hands or anything like
okay.
that. You just definitely see like there's a presence going on here, turning some of these knobs on.
Are these gas?
I mean, these gas, like, it's trying to start.
No, they're gas burners.
Is there fire or is there gas coming?
It's trying to spark. It's trying to start.
Is there
you guys here, like, while, I mean, you're obviously looking at, like, you know, the oven and stuff, like, it's trying to click on. The ovens finally do click on, and the fire, just like regular, like, cooking flames kind of start. They quickly, like, come up like a big wall of flame, like, just like really quickly and suddenly, and they die down back to normal, whatever. But in that time, I'm going to need to have Adam give me a dodge. Because out of the corner of your eye, you see something coming. Just, you see something.
I'm going to use 2 brownie points just in case.
Okay. 22?
Yeah.
Okay. You get hit with a frying pan. It's a good hit. It could have been worse. So you're going to have to give me either 4 brownie points or 3 traits lowered.
I'm just gonna give you the brownie points.
Okay.
It was a frying pan, not a writing crop.
Yeah. The frying pan clang right on the side of the head like this. Now the good news is you turn to see he is behind where you guys were looking, like this was like a distraction.
Okay.
He is there and he's holding the frying pan, so I will allow the combat to continue.
I assume like he hits Briggs. Is Briggs like down or is he like?
Briggs is definitely like at least on the ground. Like, oh,
cool. I got a clear shot.
Can I just say cool? Why does everyone like it when I get hurt?
I'm gonna spend 3 brownie points, and before I shoot, I'm gonna say scotch is a shitty liquor, anyways.
You hit him.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and tether him just to the floor where he is.
Okay. No, yeah, you got him. You got him. He's tethered. Yeah, he did. Yeah, so he's got his frying pan. He's gonna try and just come at. I guess we'll try and come in at. He's gonna try coming at pool. Okay, he comes out at you, just like, and so he misses. He misses with the swing, but the slime tether does snap from his strength. From
okay.
Remind me never to be the guy with the proton pack again.
Yeah, I know. From now on.
I spend 2 more brownie points. Okay. I'm gonna take a pot shot at him.
11?
Yeah.
You hit him, and he looks weak. He's looking like that's just too much. It's like, oh.
Is it my turn?
Yes, it's your turn.
Oh, cool. I'm going to throw another shot at him. No brownie points. I'm just going to wing it.
He starts using a lot of racial slurs as insults.
So I tagged him. He's not in the capture.
He's not captured, but he's wounded, yes.
I go, hey, Mater D, you should see this.
Okay, if you call, I mean, he's been hearing a lot of racket. If you're calling for him, he cautiously comes in and he gets ahead of me. He's like, yeah! And he sees this ghost floating there and he's kind of frozen in fear and terrified.
Okay, does he hear the racial slurs?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, that's all I want.
Okay.
Alright, I'm gonna tag him.
No, yeah, you have 15. You definitely have.
Alright, so I'm gonna go ahead and toss my trap out underneath him. And then I guess I'll go ahead and just try and tether him so he's not going anywhere.
Okay.
I'm so bad with proton pack. Can I see that? I'm gonna spend 2 more.
What would your moves be without spending running points?
2. It's like, I don't really have a lot.
I mean, you know, you know, whatever.
No, I think with his precision, we definitely need.
Well, I mean, that's 11 and a ghost.
11 and a ghost? You hit him, the frying pan goes flying, and it hits Briggs in the face. And we'll say it'll cost you 1 brownie point.
Oh, why is everything hit me?
Because it's comedic. Only when it's funny. He just flips out of his hand.
Right as you're like standing up.
But I will say it doesn't count you out for the next round. This you're still in play.
I just have multiple like bruises and sores on my head now.
But no capture stream.
No capture stream, no. But it is Mike's turn.
Alright. Let's see if we can't burn this guy down a little bit.
You hit him and you got a capture stream.
Excellent!
Yeah. So he's ensnared.
Awesome. Alright, I'm gonna hold my turn for a second. So I've got the trap on.
Yeah, your trap is already there, ready to go.
Yeah,
so it starts to turn.
No brownie points. Because
yeah,
my roll doesn't affect.
Yeah.
Is 6.
Yeah, you got him. You gotta make capture stream. So many moves, so you gotta trap.
As a free action, as we're like wrestling him down, I yell to the Mater D, I go, hey, you wanna feel what it's like to be a hero for an afternoon?
He's like, what?
Like, got the riding crop. You heard what he said.
Like,
you know what to do.
He's holding this riding crop and it's got slime on it. He's like, go hit him.
Yeah, hit him with the riding crop.
Is it safe? Because this is it's loud, you know. Whatever.
Yeah. I'm gonna bluff.
It's really funny to take this kid's arm off.
He believes it. He's like, okay.
Just don't get hit by the stuff. Just give him a good one in the face.
Okay. And he walks over with him, and he just goes, and he just smacks him in the face as he's riding around, and it's just like,
that's good.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he does. He just gives him two quick ones.
And then get the fuck out of there.
He's like, I thought it was safe.
It was. It's gonna get bad now.
Okay. So he hides back behind like some shelves, like, you know, to watch you guys.
Is the ghost pissed?
It's pissed. It's very pissed. It's pissed from everything that you guys have been doing, and it's pissed that it's ensnared and it doesn't know
what's going on. All right, hit the trap.
All right, you guys can go to neutral. Your four's not that great, but I will say because your roll is above what was needed, it can cover for his. You guys get him over the trap, sucks him in, he's cursing at you the whole way down and everything.
He's gonna be the best friends with our pirate Sexton.
Yeah,
we're gonna have lots to talk about.
Nobody better ever approach that containment unit.
Worst personalities in the world.
He hates limeys though, so you got, you know, this.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Of
so anyway, course. So you got him in. Trap beeps. You got it. The maitre d' is just kind of like watching this and kind of in amazement.
I thought it was pretty cool, huh?
He's like, yeah, that was pretty cool. So he comes over and he's like, okay, let me go take a look at you know.
We got him in the trap, right?
Yeah, he's in the trap. You got him.
You wanna?
I'll PK the trap.
You scan the trap, and you're able to pull together that this is a class 4 phantom. We have about 20 minutes before the first guests are supposed to arrive. I think we can seal off, you know, some of the areas. But
the only room that has any kind of marks in it, like slime on the wall from the ghost. Is the one that we first met him in. Mm-hmm. And then the kitchen might have some on the inside, but it's fine.
Mm-hmm. And the guests aren't coming in the kitchen anyway. No.
He says, that is true, but he did do other things to other rooms. I'm not gonna blame you guys for that, because that's why we called you. How do we get you guys on your way? Like,
we're gonna write you guys a bill, basically for our services rendered. Now, this is pretty dangerous. He was a class 7, partially anchored, elevated remnant.
You're gonna call him a class 7?
They don't know what it means.
For my benefit. That's what you want to say?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just using big talk.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine.
He has a class 7 elevated remnant, and there is an extra containment cost. We're going to charge you
$8,300.
I think
he believes everything that you said. He's like, look, I mean, yeah, if you want to leave me the bill, I'll hand it over to the head of the club. But I'm not the one who pays the bills. But he ain't gonna like it that much. But hey, as far as I'm concerned,
it's really all it is we have safety taxes and fees and stuff like that, and it's mainly the contained.
He says, as far as I'm concerned, you've earned it. So I'll pass on good word and everything else.
So think about it. We can have Poole here write him up bill and run
for $8,300. Okay, and he's just like, okay, I'm gonna have to ask you guys to leave.
We're gone.
So it's like,
we're gone.
He says, I'm ready to hang out for the night. I was gonna make another gin bed.
Yeah, that's gonna smoke.
He says, thank you. He's like, you know, this, you've definitely helped. As you go to the elevator doors open, and the mayor is there with his first couple of guests. And he can see, not damage that you've caused, but damage, there's like slime and it's like knocked over tables and stuff, and the waitstaff is trying to quickly, you know, they're trying to cover this up, and he's like, so he sees you, and he's behind you. The waitstaff is quickly trying to clean stuff up. He's like, "What the hell's going on?"
Like, oh well, you're very lucky, Mayor. You missed the bet, but we very safely handled the problem here in your own backyard.
Your dinner party with the governor, was it? Will go on uninterrupted.
Okay, I've had it. I asked you to try and keep things to yourselves. I think you guys are full of crap and trying to pull one over on the club. I think you guys are just. I can respect that times are tough, but this is not the way to do business. Honestly, I think
the conversation you need to have is with your waitstaff if you think that we're full of crap, because they called us.
He says, "All right, well, you gentlemen can go, but know that I have a friend down at the EPA, and he's been very interested in what I've been telling him about your guys' activity. So you should expect a visit from him pretty soon. And if he says there's one thing out of line, I am definitely shutting all of you down.
All four ghosts that we have?
Yeah, he's just... He's just
dude, do you want to fight the sexton, the pirate, that dog, and this guy?
Hold on. Let's not forget creepy hole thing.
It's still in the car.
It's a screw annihilation.
So he's
there's
just
a
like,
whole other dimension hanging out in there.
He walks past and he just starts overseeing like the cleanup and everything, and he's just sort of shaking his head. So he's had enough. He's done.
Can I take the mayor for just a second and be like, listen, if you want proof, we've got it. You just have to come visit us.
He's like, even if ghosts do exist, I don't care. What I care about is the image that you're giving everyone else. And this isn't good. So get back to work, keep things down, and keep things safe. Because again, if there's anything out of line, I'm not going to hesitate. So I assume you guys are going to head back to the firehouse?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. When you get there...
Oh, wait, can we drop by public records? I want to see if there's any information on... Colonel Parkins.
You find registry lists of like people who like in the military and whatnot. You do find records of a Colonel Parkins, but nothing really leads you to understand why he was brought back. He wasn't killed in battle, of course. He lived. You do find him having a very active social life, like he was a member of all different kinds of clubs and stuff. But you do know from like some of your records and stuff, you are led to believe that, because you see like matching names for several of these clubs together, and you are able to see that eventually fellow members of these clubs, because he's very in very big social circles, some of these other members that he's been with that are in many clubs, the same clubs that he's in, several members of them have been arrested for illegal lynchings. So you're kind of led to believe that he was a member of another club that may not be registered with the state.
Right.
If you catch my drift.
Some kind of acronym that you can only say like.
Yeah. So you're led to believe that he's a member of different clubs that aren't really state approved.
Okay.
All right. Back to the firehouse.
Okay. Let's go. Okay.
Now when you guys walk in, you start loading up. Nina, she says, "Oh hey guys, you know I assume everything went well." She says, "Pool, Miss Morelli called asking for you. I don't know if you want. She left a number. You can call her back if you like."
Okay.
Is
that the one I went out with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to call her back?
Yeah.
If you'll remember, this happened a while back, but when you were rolling to get her number, to get everything, you did get a ghost die.
I did get a ghost. Oh, fuck.
So you get her on the phone, and I had prefaced that by saying you did roll a ghost.
I did, yes.
In fact,
I was hoping you forgot
you, and, well, you rolled, actually, I think you rolled two ghosts at two separate times when dealing with her.
Right, yeah.
You get her on the phone, and she's upset. She's like, "So what's this? You don't call anymore?"
I knew that was going to happen.
And, you know, it wouldn't be so bad. I've had guys, you know, like you before. You know, you just get what you want. You don't call back. That's whatever. You know, I understand men are like that, and that's fine. But what I don't understand is how can you want to break my heart? You don't give me a phone call. You don't tell me it's over. You don't call me for several days. I got no idea. The only thing I know next is I turn on the TV, and I see you at Disney World, hugging some whore.
I'm so happy about that right now.
God damn.
With no explanation to me, what do you have to say for yourself? Now, if you want to try, you can. If you want, you do have a seduce power. If you want to try and save this phone call,
yeah, I'll go ahead and try and I don't know what.
Dude, just tell her you're busy.
Yeah.
We're busting.
So you tell me.
We're fighting pirates, sucked into other dimensions. You know, we got the mayor. I got the mayor down my throat right now.
The mayor literally. Yeah.
So what? She does ask like, what about that other girl? So like, so what's the deal with you and this other girl?
Oh.
So you can tell me. You can explain that when you roll. You can tell me how you explain it. Another ghost.
You rolled pretty well, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'll take that into account. We can take. You know. Okay. That's fine. Just tally that up.
It's 24 and a ghost.
24 and a ghost.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to say?
Yeah. Look, we just. It's the first time we've ever, been out in the public eye. I mean, the camera showed me for a second. I was hugging everybody. Currently, Blake is out. On a date with her at the moment. I was just loving everyone because we survived our pirate ghost fight.
She's like, so Are we still together? Is what she's asking.
Oh man, that's
that question.
A good ghost eye. You know, I don't want to put you through the situation of having, you know, being tied down to someone who's out, you know, putting his life on the line, fighting ghosts constantly. I think that's an unfair situation to put you in, as much as that would be absolutely what I want with such an amazing woman. But I can't be that greedy to put you through such a situation, and you don't deserve that.
She says, "You bastard," and she hangs up the phone.
Can I text her an e-heart?
So then bitch a smiley face.
Bitch loves a smiley face. You're gonna text her the heart shape with the number 3 or
less
whatever.
Less than 3.
You know what, if you text that, she responds, "You'll be sorry."
What did you do? Apparently not something right.
I will say, around this time, after you get off the phone, a woman walks in.
She's a tall drink of water.
She is a tall drink of water. She's a very attractive woman. She comes walking in. She introduces, she sees you guys all sitting there. Some of you got slime on you, a little ruffled up or whatever. She's very cool, calm, collected. And she shakes everyone's hand. She introduces herself as Felicia Silver. She says that she's here representing a little known but new society of people who are interested in otherworldly things. They've been hearing about you guys in the news, you know, and been making some of the papers, and the blogosphere has been lighting up with all your tags and keywords and whatnot. And she wanted to extend an invite for membership. For everyone who works at the Ghostbusters.
And graciously accept.
Since you're interested, I can tell you, you know, when we can meet you, so you can be inducted in. It's very simple. It's, you know, it is very high society, though. It's a privilege to be asked to join. It's very secretive. You can't just apply. You have to be approached. They're offering, like, lifetime membership. You guys don't have to pay anything. It doesn't work that way. It's just a group of like-minded people who are interested in all things weird and strange, and they think that you guys would be, you know, good members to have because you have experience that some of the other members don't
have. I swear to God, if I walk in there and there's a guy like Giorgio Tsoukalos, and he's like, you know, ancient ghosts were really ancient astronauts.
I'm not saying it was ghosts. It was ghosts.
Yeah. She says the name of the society is Occultal Veritas, and she explains a little bit more of just like, they have usually bi-monthly, sometimes monthly meetings. When you guys show up, they'll have a special ceremony. It's really just an honor to have you guys, and as a bonus to joining, because you guys agreed to join up without even really hearing much about it. But she says, I was going to tell you that if you guys weren't that interested, our members are all, you know, usually the upper class, and if any of them ever had a problem with a ghost, because you guys are fellow members, they'd be willing to pay you double of your usual price.
Interesting.
All that we ask in return is, other than your membership and your friendship, is that you just tell us about your experiences fighting ghosts and any data you have so we can better understand this world that we live in.
I can't hear you over the dollar signs.
I was like, oh. Okay, so she leaves a card, puts it on like the coffee table. And she's like, all right, well, if you have any more questions, feel free to call me, and we'll be in touch. And if you do decide, give me a call and I'll tell you where we're meeting. And
is this your personal number, or is this?
No, this is for, this is for Occultal Veritas.
What if they don't know what we're talking about? Is it
they'll,
is there a
they'll
way that
know.
We can...
They'll know.
Roll for a number.
You can, if you want to try, do it and roll.
That's, I guess, my goal, yeah.
I mean, if you don't want to, I can try and charm her.
Suddenly being a Ghostbuster doesn't sound so dangerous anymore. Like, did you roll another ghost? Count it up. count it up.
No, and I just say, oh, well, what if we need to get in touch with you personally?
She's like, oh, it doesn't have to be me personally, but I'll write you my extension, write her extension number on there.
Okay.
So she says, all right, well, have a good day. And she leaves. I did have a little bit more, but I think it's best to say that when we have all Ghostbusters present, so I'll call it out there for you, gentlemen, unless there's anything else you want to do before.
All right, so we'll do mobile containment unit. Everybody cool with that?
Yeah.
Because that way we can just cook them. Boson dart and slime woven gloves and boots.
PayPal to GhostbustersNY at, you know.
We spent $22.50.
Any advice on the EPA?
Do you want to call them?
Yeah.
Okay, when you call them, you hear this woman answer. You can only assume it's Janine. She's like, Ghostbusters, please hold. Puts you on hold. And after a few minutes, she's like, yes, Ghostbusters, how can we help you?
This is a pool down at the Orlando branch.
She's like, oh, hello. It's like, what can we do for you? Oh,
it's so nice to hear from other branches.
Yeah. What do you need?
Just seduced me.
Are you really?
I wasn't going to until I heard the voice.
The voice of a man.
My voice doing a bad Janine.
No, I'll save that.
No, he's going to seduce her.
Just asking if, I guess, if Tully is around?
Lewis?
Yeah, if Lewis is around.
He went home for the day. Why? What did you need?
Oh, we've got a visit from the EPA coming and just wondering if there's someone we could talk to about what we should do to make sure we don't step on any toes.
Oh. no one's in at the moment, but if you want to leave a message, I forward you to either Dr. Bankman's desk or Dr. Spangler.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about either Spangler or, and then why don't you leave a message for Tully as well, since he's the business side of everything, it seems.
She's like, all right, honey, I'm going to forward you. So she forwards you over.
Honey, this might even roll.
And you get, it's like, this is Dr. Spangler, leave a message. Beep.
All right, and I leave all that.
Yeah, so he's just basically asking about the advice on the EPA.
We're new at this, but we got lots of ghosts. So what do we do to make sure we're
all right, good. Well, then you do that, and I guess you guys are good to go.
Yeah.
Call it at night.
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic?
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Pick up your phone and call the professionals.
Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural illumination needs at nerdyshow.com.
All Nerdy Show programs are listener supported, so if you like what you hear, please consider clicking the support button and help us keep the EPA off our backs.
You can also follow us or The Nerdy Show on iTunes, Facebook, or Tumblr.
We're ready to believe you!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.